I'd like to thank you for taking your time to be here in the house of the Lord, as always. And it's always good to be here and to be able to share with you the Word of God. And so this week, I've been studying and reading and meditating. And I guess I was in a hurry this week because, you know, I get excited sometimes and, well, all the time when it comes to the Word of the Lord. But it's always exciting to me to be able to read the Word of God and let it speak to you. And, you know, you never know what you're going to hear from the Lord. Amen. You never know what you're going to receive from the Lord. But it's always good to be able to receive something from the Lord. Amen. That's why you're here today, is it not? Is it not to receive something from the Lord? I hope you didn't come here today to receive something from me because I'm just a mere man. I'm just a mere messenger. But the Lord has always, to me, the Lord always has something good to share with us. Amen? Anybody else agree with that? The Lord always has something good to share with you, I would dare say. But if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'd like to start out this morning in the book of 1 Chronicles, and that's in the Old Testament here. I was over in the New Testament, and I realized I was over in the New Testament. 1 Chronicles is in the Old Testament, chapter 7. And I'm going to read one verse of Scripture to you this morning. I believe if I've got the right verse wrote down here. If not, we'll just move on. But let me look and see if I am in the right book here. In chapter 7, let me see what chapter 14 says. But I don't think I wrote down the wrong scripture. See, that's why I always have to double check myself. So that's not the right book, then that's not the right scripture. So see, even pastors make mistakes all the time. Amen? Because that's why I'm saying I'm not a perfect person. But let me talk to you this morning. Let me give you an idea about what the Word is about today. Is that if you want something to change, you must then turn to the Lord. You know, we always want change. Amen? How many people know today that everybody in the world wants something to change today? It seems like every time you turn around, somebody's wanting something to change. But let me tell you something today. If you want real change, it takes God. Amen? Can you say amen to that this morning, church family? If you want change this morning, you really have to trust in the Lord for the change to take place. You know, there's a lot of things going on this morning in our country. There's been a lot of things going on in the world today. And everybody's always coming up with a new idea that's never been thought of. But you know, as a minister this morning, as a man that carries the gospel today, there's nothing new under the sun about this gospel. Amen? It's the same gospel as it was back in the days of Jesus Christ. But you know what? I'd be a liar if I told you this morning I found something new. There's nothing new here. It's the same Word. It's the same Word of God that was given unto men, penned down by men to write down so that we could have it today, so that we could learn from it and read it and study it, meditate on it, pray upon it, and let God reveal to us the things that He would have us to know. But there's no change in this Word right here. God doesn't change, amen? God is the same God He's always been. It's we who want the change. It's we who want these new ideals and these new concepts and these new ways of doing and ways of thinking. But God says unless you want true change, and God says unless you want real change, you got to turn to the Lord for change to take place. You know, I used to think before I was a man of God, back when I was out in the world and unprotected by God, you know, I didn't care about change. I didn't care about my life changing. I didn't care about my heart changing. But once the Lord comes into your life, there's where true change takes place. Amen. There's where the change comes. There's where the new being comes. There's where the new creation comes. It's not that I did anything except come to the Lord. You know what I had to do though? That many people, can I just be so bold to say today, many people, and I'm going to get a little bit excited about this, and I'm going to get a little bit bold about this, but many people like living in sin. Amen? I really am convinced of that. Many people like living in the world of sin they're living in. But you know what it takes to get out of the world of sin? It takes you to fall down upon your knees and ask God to forgive you. And you got to show God that you're repentant. You got to ask God to repent from your sins. And that means, that word repent means you got to turn. You got to turn. You know what I'm always telling kids, and I'm cutting up and carrying on about it? I heard it on the radio. I don't know what channel I heard it on, but you're going to recognize the phrase, if you don't turn, you will burn. Amen? If you don't turn, you will burn. And that means if you don't never come to the saving grace of God's knowledge and love, you will die. And you will die eternal. You're not only a physical death, you'll die an eternal death. And you'll spend your eternity in the depths of hell. And listen, I'm glad that God's redeemed me this morning. I don't know about you, but I am. Anybody in the house of God, glad that you've been redeemed by the hand of God, that you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ this morning? I hope and pray that you are praising God every day. I hope and pray that you're praising and just lifting up your voice unto the Lord and thanking God for your redemption. It doesn't matter what happens in the world today. It doesn't matter what happens in the world tomorrow. If you've been redeemed by the hand of God, if you're covered under the blood of Jesus Christ today, if you believe in the cross of Calvary today, and you believe today that you are saved and sanctified by God, you fell down and asked God for forgiveness, and God's given you repentance, God's given you redemption, God's given you the free gift of grace, then you are saved and sanctified by God, and there ain't nothing can take that away from you. And that's why we ought to be praising and lifting up our hands unto the Lord. And listen, we are not to turn a blind eye to sin today. We are not to turn a blind eye to people that's living in the world of sin today. But yet we are not to be a judgmental kind of people, but we are to walk in love. We are to use the Word of God. We are to tell them about the Word of God. We are to tell them that it's not right. And we are to make them see that the Word of God says that either you repent or you die in your sins. Because death, it said, you know, you're free to do whatever you want to today. We're living in a country right now, you can do whatever you want to do. But the Lord says plainly, unless you repent of your sins, you die eternal death. Unless you ask God to forgive you of your sins, you're going to be punished for your sins. Unless you ask God to forgive you of all your sins and ask Christ to come into your life, you are going to die eternal death. Now listen, I love the world of sin I lived in. Just be honest with you. I loved it. Man, Satan had me bound. He had me bound up. You know, he had that whisper in my mind, that whisper in my heart. You know what Satan's out to do to you this morning, church family? He's out to crush you. You know what Satan's out to do to you this morning, church family? He's out to destroy you. He's out to sift you to see what you're made of. And that's exactly what he's doing in the world today. People are living in the world of sin. They think everything's acceptable, okay. It's not okay because Satan is in. He's sifting people like sand. He's sifting people like wheat, and he's convincing them it's okay to live in a world of sin. But God says it's not okay. It's not acceptable to live in a world of sin. You know what I found? Whether you agree with me or not, that's all right. But what I've found by reading the Word of God on a daily basis. This is our instruction manual, amen? Right here. I don't know. I don't know if this is right or this is wrong. Well, you know who you need to be asking? You know who you need to be asking? You need to be asking God. You need to be letting the Holy Spirit control your life and control your heart, control your mind. Then you won't have no doubts. I don't know. Is it okay? Everybody else is doing this and that. I guess it's okay for me. Well, it's just, and this is what I found. You know how many times, I'm gonna give you something, you might want to write this down. You know how many times the word righteous is mentioned in the Word of God? 585 times that you can find the word righteous in the Word of God. 585 times. Now, I haven't looked this up personally myself, but from my reading and studying, 585 times. Now, what does that tell you about righteousness? What does that tell you how God feels about righteousness? The very word. You know what righteousness is? It's an act. Just like faith is. You got to practice. You know what? It's just as easy to practice righteousness as it is to practice sin. Amen. Can somebody say amen to that this morning? Praise God. Hallelujah. God says we have to practice being righteous every day. In other words, every situation you find yourself in, every situation, every dark alley you find yourself in, you got to practice. You want to overcome sin this morning? You want to break the bonds of sin this morning? You want to break the yoke that Satan has people bound up with? then start practicing being righteous. And you know what that word righteous means? It means right standing with the Lord. I'm in right standing with God this morning. I am a righteous person this morning. Whether you think so or not, it doesn't matter what you think. It matters what God thinks. Other people may look at you and say, well, you're not righteous. I know what you did yesterday. I know how you acted yesterday. I know how you talked yesterday. But listen, it don't matter what they think. It only matters what God thinks. It only matters what God sees. And if He says you're righteous, if you've been covered under the blood of Jesus Christ this morning, let me tell you something this morning. You a holy person. You say, well, I don't know about that, Pastor. But listen, don't doubt yourself. That's what Satan wants you to do. He don't want you to think you're holy. He don't want you to think that you're a righteous person in the sight of God. But if you're saved this morning, if you've been redeemed by God, if you've fallen down and repented of all your sins and been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, it says that your sins, even though they were crimson red, have been made as white as snow this morning, church family. How many believe that scripture this morning? How many believe that your sins were once as crimson red and now they have been washed white as snow? You know what that means? They're all gone. If you've asked God to forgive you of them, they're all gone. He ain't holding them against you no more. And guess what you just did? You broke the bondage. You broke the yoke. You broke the chain of bondage that Satan once had you bound. But now you've been freed from all of that. And praise God, hallelujah for that this morning. Satan has no bounds on me no more. Satan has no bounds on you anymore. You've been forgiven. The slate's wiped clean. You've been redeemed by the very hand of God. And redemption comes by what? How do you get redemption this morning? Let me tell you how you get redemption this morning. You got to have faith this morning. And then when faith comes, redemption, you got redemption, then faith comes, and then salvation comes unto eternal life. Praise God. Hallelujah. How great is that this morning, church family? Now, if I don't get your blood pumping, if I don't get your heart pumping, I don't know what else I can say to you this morning. But that is exciting to me this morning, to be able to share that with you this morning. Man, there's a lot of people out there struggling in the world of sin. Man, there's a lot of people out there this morning that don't know which way to go. They don't know who to listen to. That's our main problem this morning. We all listen to everybody else. You know, everybody's listening to this person over here or listening to that person over here. I know my master's voice. Anybody else in the house of God? I know my master's voice. I don't have to listen to all this other garbage out there in the world. I know my master's voice. And he says in the word of God, Jesus says that my sheep know my voice and they'll follow not another. Amen. So if you know your master's voice this morning, whoever your master's voice is this morning, that's who you're going to follow. If you hear the voice of Jesus Christ, that's you know you're going to follow your master's voice because you know he's calling you. You know he's leading you. He's telling you what to do and where to go. And you know his voice is his voice. Amen. How many know the voice of Jesus Christ this morning? I know my master's voice and I'm not going to follow another. Because I don't live under condemnation. I don't live in bondage this morning. But only those who have not been redeemed, only those who are living in a world of sin this morning, they don't know the master's voice because they've never come to the master, the true master. Oh, Satan, now listen, let me tell you something about old Satan this morning. He's a master. He's a master, all right. Let me tell you, he's a good master. He's a master at deceiving people. He's a master at destroying lives. And that's what he set out to do each and every day. You know, every time I start preaching about the old devil, about a zillion things come up against me. But you know what? That's all right. If something ain't going on in your life, then something ain't right, probably. You know what I'm telling you? You know what I'm saying to you this morning, church family? You know what? You know, a little trial and tribulation ain't nothing compared to eternal life. Amen? It ain't nothing. It's just a moment in time. All our problems, all our trials, all our tribulations are just a moment in time. But eternal life is forever. Amen? Eternal life is going to be forever. And it's up to you and me to where are we going to spend that eternity. Where are we going to spend that eternal life? Now, I've done made my decision. And I hope, I'm not going to dare say that everybody here in the house of God, but I would like to think this morning, you know, as a young preacher, I was taught, in the candidate for a ministry to become a preacher, that was the number one thing that they told all the young candidates. Don't ever assume. Don't ever assume when you someday get your own church. Don't ever assume everybody you meet out on the streets are people of God, because they may not be. You may look at somebody, they may be the best person. They may act and walk and talk and never do nothing wrong. You know, I've heard that same old story. I've heard the same old thing over and over and over. Well, I don't harm nobody. I don't do nothing wrong. Why would God send me to hell? Well, I'll tell you what, it ain't about what you do wrong or right. It's about accepting the Son. That's what it's all about. Whether you accept the Son or not, that determines if you go to heaven or hell this morning, church family. And that's kind of like kindergarten. That's kind of like kindergarten. You know, when these kids go to kindergarten, that's what kindergarten teaching is. We all know that, but a lot of people out there in the world, they're convinced that they're not going to hell because they don't do anything wrong. Listen, if you're born, listen, this sin, this flesh right here, it's tainted with sin. And it'll do whatever you let it do. But if it's controlled by the power of God and empowered by the Holy Spirit, covered on the blood of Christ, you're going to live under that conviction. And you're not going to be as prompted to sin being not covered with Jesus as you are covered with Jesus Christ, as you have Jesus Christ. Man, I'm tempted all the time. Anybody else? Am I the only one that gets tempted? Preacher, say, preacher, now, why are you asking me that question? Don't ask me that. I don't want you to know. Am I the only one that gets tempted in this flesh? I would dare say not. But you know. God knows. You can't fool God. Just because you live a decent and upright life and you think, well, I don't do anything wrong. God's not that kind of God. He wouldn't send me to hell just because I didn't ever accept Jesus Christ as His Son, as the Savior of the world. Don't fool yourself. According to the word I read, don't fool yourself. Please don't fool yourself. Tell your neighbors, tell your family members, tell your friends, don't fool yourself. That's the lie Satan's telling the world right now. It's okay. It's okay. Don't worry about it. God's got it. Let me tell you something about old Jonah. Over in the book of Jonah, and you can write these scriptures down if you want to. Over in the book of Jonah, chapter 3. And I'm just going to paraphrase real quick, but I got a lot more to share with you this morning. But listen, over in the book of Jonah, in chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 and verse 10. Write those scriptures down and read them later. But let me tell you what it says. Let me talk to you about what it says. You know, this was the second time that God came to Jonah. In chapter 3, this is the second time. You say, well, what was the first time? You remember when God told Jonah to get up, go down to Nineveh? In chapter 2? And he said, you know what? I don't even like those people. I don't care what happens to them. And you know what? He got on that boat. And then all this storm starts coming up and all these guys. Those guys weren't Christians on that boat. They didn't know the Lord. But listen, they knew enough to know something was going on. Amen. They knew something brought all this on them. As they called it, a curse. That somebody or something has caused this to come upon us. And then they got searching around and digging into it. And guess what they found? They found old Jonah over on that boat running from the Lord. And then they realized what had brought their problems upon them. They realized when Jonah disobeyed God, got on that boat, was headed in the opposite direction from Nineveh, they knew something was wrong. And they knew they had to do something about it. Guess what they did? They said, well, we ain't got no choice. Either it's going to be him or us. So guess who they chose? They throwed old Jonah overboard, and a fish come up and ate him. And now old Jonah, Jonah's fate's sealed, he thinks. Jonah's sitting inside the belly of that fish, and he's thinking, well, this is it for me. And he got no other chance. But guess who he calls out to? He calls out to the Lord. He calls out unto God. And guess what? The word of the Lord said that the fish spit him out on dry land. And then it says in chapter 3 that God came to Jonah a second time. God came to, and this is all going to connect here in just a minute. God came to Jonah a second time. And God said, go down to Nineveh and preach the message that I will give to you. Now I looked up in scripture now, it says that the city of Nineveh was a very large city. And it said that Jonah walked across the city, a day's walk. Now can you imagine walking across? It took 3 days, I think it says in the Word of God, it takes 3 days to cross the entire city of Nineveh, if I'm not mistaken. But Jonah walked an entire day proclaiming the message that God gave him to proclaim. And guess what that message was? A message of repentance. And it says, he said, the Lord says, I give you 40 more days. The message that the Lord has given unto me is 40 more days until the Lord comes and overthrows the city. In other words, the Lord was going to do away with the city of Nineveh. And it says from the least, to the greatest, heard what Jonah said, and they believed in God, and they all put on sackcloth. And they all repented of their sins. And when God saw that, he spared them. Amen? God spared them. So you tell me this morning, church family. I don't know, you know, you read about Nineveh, what was going on in Nineveh. All kinds of things, all kinds of evilness, all kinds of unrighteousness. But then when old Jonah was sent down there to preach and proclaim the message of repentance that God had given to him the second time, you know what? I bet he didn't waste no time the second time. Amen? I guarantee you, when the Lord tells you to do something, you better get up and do it. Amen? You better not disobey the Lord and try to go the opposite direction, because guess what? You can't get away from the Lord. And all these people out there today, think they can get away with living in sin. They thought, the Lord, I'm way out here, and the Lord can't never catch me. I'm running as fast as I can. There's a lot of runners out there today, but you know what? The Lord's going to trip them up. He's going to trip them up, and they're going to fall, and they're going to fall hard. And that's when the repentance has a chance to come. And you know, this morning, church family, this is what we need right now. We need righteous people. God is looking for righteous people. He's looking for people that are willing to go out and proclaim the message. He's looking for people to go out and preach repentance. He's looking for people to live a righteous life unto the Lord. Amen. And I believe we got them right here. I believe we got a whole church full of people. Who knows how many people are watching on Facebook today who will hear this message later on. It might make some of them mad, but you know what? It don't matter. You know, the truth is hard to take sometimes. When you're living in sin, you don't want to hear the truth. I didn't. Man, you ain't telling me what to do, preacher. You're just a preacher. You don't know nothing. Man, I've been down every road you can think of. I've done everything you can think of trying to get away from the Lord. You know what? I've said this 100,000 times, and I'll keep saying it till the day I die. I never wanted to be no preacher. I didn't wake up one morning and ask God, God, make me a preacher. But you know what God did? Instead of me asking, God said, you're going to be one. I've got a message for you. And you're going to proclaim that message, whether you like it or not. You got two choices. You can obey or you can disobey. You know what sackcloth is a symbol of? It symbolizes several things. First, it symbolizes mourning. You know what sackcloth is made out of back in the Old Testament days? Goat hair. Now, would you like to put on, listen, this morning, church family, if we had some sackcloth made out of old goat hair, you ever felt of a goat? It's pretty coarse hair. Would you like to put on some sackcloth made out of goat hair this morning? It's very uncomfortable, probably very itchy. You wouldn't want to wear it for long. It's a sign of mourning. It's a sign of self-humiliation. But most importantly, you know why the reason God spared the city of Nineveh? When he looked down and saw all those people wearing that sackcloth, those children from the least to the greatest, it says from the least to the greatest, wearing sackcloth. It was a sign of submission unto the Lord. And that's what we need more than now, in right now in our time in America. Right now we need submission, not unto ourselves, not unto man, not unto the laws and the rules of man. We need to abide by the laws and the rules of man that's governing over us. But also we need to be in submission to God. We need to submit ourselves in mourning. We need to submit ourselves in self-humiliation unto the Lord and repent of all our sins, so that the Lord, when he looks down from heaven, when he sees what we're doing, he'll have mercy. He'll have mercy upon us. And that's what is needed today if you want to see things to change. Amen. Now, I know you may not like this message today, but you know, that's all right. It's okay. You know what? It's all right. Do you want me to lie? You know, I would love to preach something to you this morning that just make you feel so good. So, man, I feel so great. Man, I was down low on my energy when I walked in this church this morning. But, you know, today, that preacher, he just preached that message. And, man, I feel so, I'm walking on air. I'm just walking on clouds right now. I'm so glad that he made me feel so good. You know what? We need more preachers today. preaching the truth of God's word, preaching about repentance. How many sermons do you hear now today preaching about the depths of hell? I hardly ever hear any preacher talking about the word hell. The place. It ain't just a word. It's a place. Preachers don't, they steer away from it because people don't want to hear about the word, the place called hell. They're afraid they're going to offend somebody. They're afraid they're going to make somebody mad. Well, listen, if you coming into church and you live in sin and you coming into church on a Sunday morning like you a saint, well, you just the biggest sinners there is. You're the worst. You're a worst sinner. You're a hypocrite. Let me be so bold as to say that. You're a hypocrite. If you living, say you living unto God just on a Sunday morning, then you go back out in the highways and the byways and you the devil all week long, then you more than just a sinner. You're a hypocrite. And you standing in condemnation of being judged by God Himself. I don't want that on my hands. I don't want no blood on my hands. I want my hands to be white and pure when God looks at them. Yeah, I'm not perfect. But man, I want to tell the truth. And that's a hard thing for people to do today. They want to live in the world of sin and they want to keep it a secret. But you know when that secret comes out? Man, it's ugly. Very ugly. All right, let me finish up with this. One last thing. Let me tell you this. Over in the book of Romans, chapter 6 and verse 13. Let me say this to you and I'm going to close up. You're like, man, I'm glad. Listen, it says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. It says, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. And listen, that means this morning, church family. Let me just expound 2 minutes on what that means. Romans 6 and verse 13. Do not use your hands, your eyes, your mouth, your feet, your hand, your legs, your entire being to sin. But use your body, use your mind, use your heart, use your mouth, use your tongue as instruments to bring praise and glory unto the Lord. Amen. And that's the will of God for your life every day. You know, I saw a post this morning. It might have been this morning. I saw a post where this guy was like the bottom half of him. He was like a, and I'm just gonna say the word. He was obese. He was real big. Had a belly hanging way down here. And some of you might have saw that post. But the top of the half of the guy, he had a chisel in his hand. And so he had done chiseled about halfway of his body. And the top part of his body was all physique, you know. He's built up, muscled, and all nice looking and everything in this little rock statue. But the bottom half was all obese and just ugly. But it says, do something every day. I think it said, do something to the effect of every day, to chip away a little bit every day of yourself to how you want to be. Now, what kind of word is that to us this morning? Every day, do something at chipping away yourself how you want to be. And that means we got to practice just a little bit every day to be. What is your main goal? Our main goal, we've been made in the image of Christ. So if we've been made in the image of Christ, we've got to become more Christ-like every day. Amen? Your old pastor here, he's got to be Christ, he's got to become more Christ-like every day. Well, how am I going to do that? This is my final words now. If you ain't learned nothing this morning, you won't learn anything by what I'm about to say. How are you going to become more Christ-like every day? How are you going to become more righteous every day? You got to chip away. You got to chip away a little bit of the old self every day. Chip away. Just keep on chipping. Keep on carving until you get where you want to be. Where you want to be? That's the question. Where do you want to be with your walk with the Lord? I'm not talking about living in the world. This world's temporary, in case you don't know it. This world's a temporary world. It's passing away as we speak right now. Your world, my world, is only temporary. We're just passing through. But where do you want to be with the Lord? You got to carve. You got to chip. You got to sculpt until you get to where you want to be. And that's the word for us today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, most gracious God, Lord, it's amazing how your word comes to us. God, we thank you for your word, first of all. Lord, that we have this word today. God, I'm thankful that we're able to come in a church setting, and Lord, and we're able to have the freedom, Lord, to preach and proclaim your message, God. And Lord, that we're able to sit here in this house of yours and just listen to the word of God and to take it and apply it to our lives, Heavenly Father, without any consequences. And Lord, we thank you this morning for all those that are watching on Facebook. Lord, we thank you for those that are here today. And God, help us to practice, help us to become what we need to be in you. Not in ourselves, Lord. Lord, let us remove ourselves. Lord, let us get rid of the old stuff. Let us get rid of the old self. And God, help us to get below the surface and bring forth the Christ man, the Christ woman, the Christ child that you want us to be. And Lord, help us to proclaim the message of repentance out in a world of darkness, Heavenly Father. Lord, where that word is not acceptable. Lord, where that word is, that doesn't want to be heard. But Lord, we rebuke the devil this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, he has no power. He has no authority over us, Heavenly Father, that are yours, that are your children. But Lord, for those that don't know you, for those that don't know Jesus Christ and has never accepted him as their Savior, Lord, Lord, they're just open prey. But God, that's where we come in. Lord, we have to go out and take the word to them, Heavenly Father. We have to show them the way that they need to go. And God, help us to be encouraged to do that. God, help us to bring the people into this church that need to be here, Heavenly Father, that you want to be, that you want. It's not about what we want here, Lord. It's about what you want here. And Lord, those people that are in our circles, are so-called, I don't like that word circle, Lord, but Lord, those people that we need to bring all people into our fold, Heavenly Father. And Lord, let them be introduced to the Christ love, your love, Heavenly Father, your grace and your mercy, your forgiveness. And God, now I pray that the word that's went forth will fall on the hearts and ears of those that will hear it and receive it, Heavenly Father. And God, even those that reject this word today, Heavenly Father, God, I just pray for them, Lord, that you have mercy on them. And God, let them somewhere down the line come to repentance, God, while there's still time. And God, we thank you this morning. And we humbly ask all this now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.